Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Robert Clapper is the head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
It's Saturday morning, and it's time for Dr. Clapper.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
This is the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Thank you.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 31 years. I'm so excited for today's show. First of all, this past Wednesday, for the first time in 2 months, I was back in the operating room doing cases that are outpatient. Before I start doing joint replacements, it was amazing. Did an ACL, a rotator cuff, a knee meniscus surgery, and it was just great to get my feet back into the water, literally in surfing and in the operating room. I'm so excited for my guest today at 7:15 because he's a leader in the field of sound. He's from the Bluetooth speaker company called Sonos. They're based in Santa Barbara. And they make so many wireless Bluetooth products because they're really the innovators in this technology. It fascinates me. It's magical how sound without wires comes to us. And it made me think all week about the worlds of art, sports, and surgery. That this revolution in new sound, just like Bluetooth and wireless is a revolution in music, in the speakers they create, where do you see this magical new sound in art, in sports, and in surgery? Well, in art and in music, deep in the South in the 1960s, really late 50s, early 60s, was a man named Rick Hall. He was from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, tiny little town. And he created a studio called Florence, Alabama Music Enterprise, better known as Fame Studios, F-A-M-E. And he started creating music with local talent like Percy Sledge. His studio musicians were a bunch of white teenagers, and yet he's using all of this rhythm and blues. Before there was even the term rhythm and blues, it was he who used the local musical talent, the African-American singers. He wrote songs, described the music, and people did not believe that the guys in the background, his studio musicians, were a bunch of teenagers from the local area, and they were all white. They were called the Swampers. But Wilson Pickett, Aretha Franklin, and so many came to Muscle Shoals because what Rick Hall was doing was magical and was brand new. In a minute, we're going to hear all about this amazing story of magic in the world of music. What about in sports? Well, in the 60s, Rune Arledge met with Pete Rozelle to create an entity for primetime television called Monday Night Football. It was a revolutionary idea to bring a New York lawyer named Howard Cosell along with Don Meredith and Frank Gifford together on Monday night to bring us a sporting event that we were used to hearing and seeing only on Sunday. Up until then, the announcers did nothing but just praise the athlete. There was no antagonistic criticism of what was going on until Howard Cosell came along. And I cannot wait to share with you the story of the beginnings of Monday Night Football. And in surgery, I'll never forget the day, even though I'm using my eyes and my hands as a surgeon, It wasn't until Dr. Ranawat, the man who invented the knee replacement at the Hospital for Special Surgery, my mentor, who made me listen to how I use the hammer to hit the pin around the acetabulum, the socket. Because remember, bone is like a pipe. There's the outside, and then there's the empty inside. So when you hit on the outside of the bone with a pin, you can hear the density. As soon as the pin enters the hollow portion of the bone, the sound of the hammer hitting the pin changes. It was a revolutionary sound that I was hearing, and it's in my world of surgery. And we'll get into more Clapper Vision coming up. But let's get the show started. First, Rebecca, let's play one of the most famous songs to come out of Muscle Shoals, Alabama in the 60s. Percy Sledge, who worked in the cotton fields, literally in the South, discovered by the great Rick Hall, who brought it all together. Let's listen to Percy Sledge.
When a man loves a woman,
wow. When Rick Hall recorded this song, he pretty much started to cry in the studio because you've never heard anything like this before. He cut the record and sent it to New York, and all of a sudden, the big music recording studios based in New York said, what is this Muscle Shoals? Let's get started with the sound bites because I want you to focus on the word magical because we're going to use that with Monday Night Football as well. Let's go through Muscle Shoals 1 through 10, starting with Bono from U2 talking about this magical special sound that's never been heard before coming from Rick Hall in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Let's start.
Magic is the word that comes to mind for me when I think of Muscle Shoals. It's about alchemy. It's about turning metal, the iron in the ground, the rust into gold. You just have to listen, and you will be transported. You will be changed. You're going to hear some of the greatest voices that ever were.
Now let's listen to Keith Richards.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
This is now Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones talking about how that sound went across the ocean when they started to hear this R&B music produced, created, written by this tall white guy in Alabama. Let's listen to Keith Richards.
We started to hear the sound coming out. There was an amazing feel, kind of magnetic, I suppose, in a way, sound-wise. And then after a while, this word, Muscle Shoals, comes into the picture. And then you put two and two together, and that was when I said, if we get the chance, we got to go down there, you know.
This is now Rick Hall. You'll hear the man himself talking about the first record he made in this tiny little studio in Alabama.
The first record I cut in this studio was a record called Steal Away by Jimmy Hughes, brand new building. And I was hoping it had the magic. I didn't know. So I brought my band in, and I went up in the control room and sat down.
Okay, all set.
I turned on the microphones and nervously hit the talkback button to the musicians and said, with a slight crackle in my voice, rolling.
One, two, three, four.
When they kicked off Steal Away, I sat behind the console and wept.
Let's go to number six. This is the band talking about their leader, Rick Hall. Number six.
Now, you got to realize Rick Hall is this older man. We're all 18, 19 years old. And Rick's, what, 28, 29?
29.
He had the vision for the recording. Rick made records with a group of teenage kids, okay, that became hit records, world-class records.
You asked me to give up the hand of the girl I love.
Now let's go to number eight. People don't realize who his musicians are. And here you're going to be hearing, again, Bono talking about how Rick Hall pulled this off.
The groove that we set up came from rhythm and blues music. I remember when Paul Simon called Stax Records, talked to Al Bell, and said, "Hey, man, I want those same black players that played on I'll Take You There." He says, "That can happen, but these guys are mighty pale."
A lot of people could not believe that my whole band was white guys that played behind me.
People have arrived at Muscle Shoals expecting to meet these black dudes, and they're a bunch of white guys that look like they worked in the supermarket around the corner.
This is a great story. The very first time Rick Hall met Wilson Pickett, the New York studios, Jerry Wexler sends Wilson Pickett from New York. He says, "You got to meet this guy. He's going to give you the funk in your sound like nobody else." So Wilson Pickett thinks he's going to meet an African-American producer. Listen to this story. We'll do nine. Go ahead.
I met Wilson Pickett, picked him up at the airport. He looked like, to me, a dangerous man.
He walked up like he'd known me for 500 years. "Hey, Wilson, come on. We're going to cut some fucking records. Boy, we're going to really cut some records. Come on, Wilson. Come on." I said, wait. I'm nervous, you know what I mean? Now, what does white man know about producing a Wilson Pickett?
And on the way to the studio, I'd look at him and he'd look at me, and I could see it in his eyes. He was thinking, "What am I doing with this cracker down here in Alabama?"
Now, here's Aretha Franklin giving full credit to her entire career, the queen of soul, with a bunch of white teenagers from Alabama creating the background music for her song, the song that made her a star, "I Never Loved a Man." Listen to Aretha Franklin, number 10.
Coming to Muscle Shoals was the turning point. That's where I recorded "I Never Loved a Man," which became my first million-selling record. So absolutely, it was a milestone and the turning point in my career.
All right, what about in sports? I use the word magical to describe the brand new sound. Never heard before. It came out of Rick Hall and Muscle Shoals. Well, in sports, the great sports journalist George Plimpton, he's describing, again using the word magical, this genius idea of Rune Arledge to team up Howard Cosell, Don Meredith, and Frank Gifford. Nobody had ever done this before, three guys in the booth. Let's listen to Monday Night Football, 25 years, number 10.
People tuned in to hear what Howard was going to say, or how he was going to get on Frank, and what witticism, what Texas bit of whimsy would come out of Meredith's mouth, so that it was an extra quality that was added to the game. Entertainment reared its head far more than it did on Sunday. It was a brilliant idea, and it was magical. Monday night suddenly became Monday Night In.
Now let's listen to number 9. This is Howard Cosell going on a rant.
"But in fact, you're writing about us. How many of you look to your own papers? Have sports writers who are still writing, 'Monday Night Football's a disaster.' Whom are they in touch with? Whom are they writing for?"
Well, the good thing about Monday Night Football was that the announcers became bigger than the show. I think people turned on Monday Night Football to see and hear what Meredith, Cosell, and Gifford were going to say, especially Meredith and especially Cosell. But with these guys and the personalities that they had, and they were so different, absolutely one was different from the other, I really believe that the three announcers didn't like each other at all.
That was Chet Forte, the director. And just let's go back. Let's go to distant replay. This is Keith Jackson. Before there was Howard Cosell, the very first game, the traditional sports announcer is calling the game, Keith Jackson. So let's hear what it sounds like in a traditional way before the magical revolution occurs of Howard Cosell. Let's go to distant replay number 1.
From Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, two powers in professional football meet for the first time ever as members of the new American Football Conference of the National Football League. The New York Jets, led by the passing wizardry of Joe Namath, and the Cleveland Browns, led by the power running of Leroy Kelly. This ABC Sports Exclusive is brought to you by Marlboro Filter Cigarettes. Come to where the flavor is. Come to Marlboro Country.
There was a time when cigarette companies could actually be the ads. And Keith Jackson, probably the greatest caller of college football games. But that's the traditional announcer for Monday Night Football, the very first game. Now, let's listen to what happens when Howard Cosell comes along. Let's go to number two.
It is a hot, sultry, almost windless night here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Browns will play host to the New York Jets. And here at midfield on the gridiron itself, as we await the opening kickoff, we will see two teams, two of the outstanding teams in professional football, each accorded a chance to reach the Super Bowl, each an Eastern Division champion in its respective league a year ago.
All right, so now he's about to start to go crazy. Let's listen to Monday Night Football 25 years, number two. This is Cosell calling a play.
We pick up in the third quarter, 10-7, the Cardinals leading. Wilson handing off on that draw to Rogers. Watch him bust that tackle, and he's on his way. That handoff to Eddie Lee Ivory, and look at number 40 go, and what a day he had. 109 yards on 17 rushes.
6-3 Rams, first quarter. Lions ball, Billy Sims, 20. Watch him, remember the number, you know the name. Touchdown!
Third play from scrimmage, number 82, Alan Page, the counselor at law, banging the ball out of Kenny's hand.
Now let's go to number one of Monday Night Football. This is Chris Berman paying homage to the great Howard Cosell for his career and the way he would call games. Number one.
Who would have guessed back in 1970 that it was a big gamble putting NFL football on primetime television? I mean, Monday Night Football is a part of our culture. Just think back, what a great night TV was. Ronan Martin's Laughing from 8 to 9, then Monday Night Football with Dandy Don and the gang from 9 o'clock on. Was it that long ago that Joe Willie and the Jets were beaten in that opening Monday night game in Cleveland?
Now, let's go to number 6, Monday Night Football.
Next, ABC paired the polysyllabic New York lawyer with the homespun humor of Texas twanging Don narrative.
And I think it was the fact that you had Don, who was totally outrageous and disrespectful. And he wasn't nearly as much so as people thought he was, but he was just a good old down-home boy that could, he could say, "Oh, Howard," and America thought he was wonderful.
We'll get into the revolution in sound, the magical moment of bringing Howard Cosell, who really is the farthest person you'd think should be calling a football game, but it worked. It became a smash hit, Monday Night Football, and pretty much changed the way we listen to sports. It's because of him, and I'll go into more detail about his life, as well as the sound that came out of Muscle Shoals. But the real revolution in music that we're living with now comes from a company in Santa Barbara called Sonos. How did this revolution start? Well, it did in sports, and it did in Muscle Shoals, and it's actually happening in Santa Barbara. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the great Alan Mask to teach us a little about another revolution in sound, the magical sound of Sonos. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
You're no good, heartbreaker. You're lying, and you're...
This is Aretha Franklin's first number one hit. CBS Records Let Her Go. And it wasn't until she came to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Rick Hall that this song came about. The Queen of Soul, recording with a bunch of teenage white kids from Alabama. Magic, pure magic, and a revolution in sound. And the birth of R&B in the 60s. Wow. Joining me now is a man who knows a lot about making a revolution in sound, the great Alan Mast from Sonos. Alan, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Anytime. Thank you for having me, Doc.
So what do you think about this connecting the dots of the magical sound in Monday Night Football and Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Sonos?
Well, I think quite fondly of it. You know, those are comparisons and parallels that we draw all the time. So you're doing what we do every day.
Wow. Well, Alan, first of all, where are you from? Where did you grow up? What did your dad do for a living? And how did you wind up in the music business?
Yes, sir. That's a good question. So I'm originally from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It's awesome to come after a Howard Cosell segment because I think he's a North Carolina guy.
He is. He grew up Howard Cohn in North Carolina. He was born. Changed his name to Cosell because his grandfather was an immigrant from Poland. And to pay respect, because they changed the name to Americanize it, he said, to hell with that. My name's Cosell. Changed his name as an NYU lawyer and wound up as a union lawyer and wound up representing Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. And just like Rick Hall in the South, embracing the black music at the time and creating R&B, it was Howard Cosell embracing Muhammad Ali. He was the first sportscaster to actually call him Muhammad. And when you think about magical sound and revolution, both these guys in two different worlds embracing the African-American culture is what launched their careers. It's very interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so, you know, being from North Carolina originally, I'm very familiar with the music. And of course, he is a journalist. I studied journalism at the University of North Carolina. And my parents are actually physicians. And so they're more like you than not. My dad's an anesthesiologist. My mom's OBGYN. And so
I'm
bred in the Southeast, misplaced on the West Coast, some would say.
So you study what in college? Let's hear your journey. It's fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. So I studied journalism and mass communication at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. My first role out of school was actually in finance, though. It was on Wall Street. And so I was a business reporting major in school and, you know, was also an entrepreneur. I'd started a small company and was really interested in how companies were capitalized. And that kind of led me into a early career in private equity and investment banking. And then one thing led to another. You know, my now wife was in San Francisco at the time when I was on Wall Street. And so I went to the West Coast, ended up at Google, was there for a number of years. And that was the beginning of my journey in technology and went through a few startups, was at Airbnb for some time. And for the past 3.5 years, I've been down here in Santa Barbara. So about 100 miles north of where you are right now, at Sonos. And so it's been a good run, a circuitous path, but I'm very grateful to be here.
You know, you're a Renaissance man, having touched base in all these different fields. It makes a difference in terms of when you walk in the room, you've got different eyes in your head than all those other folks who've been very unidimensional in terms of what they've done on their career paths. You can see through the forest into the actual trees. That's amazing.
Tell us a little, Doc.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think we learned it all from Michelangelo. You know, he was a member of three separate guilds. He was a member of the Architecture Guild, the Painting Guild, and the Sculpture Guild. In fact, when he used to go into the marble quarries, the way he would designate that this is the stone for him, because he would actually go into the mountain and look for the specific rock he wanted, he would draw three separate circles that interconnected, like a Venn diagram. That was his signature. This is the rock I want. Represent, it kind of looks like the Olympics with the five circles. His were three circles interconnecting. This is my stone, because he could see the figure that lied within the stone in the mountain, a Renaissance man in all three fields.
You're an art historian, too. You do it all.
I try. I'm a sculptor.
Love it.
I tell people I work in stone and bone. Your company, though, Alan, is fascinating. Tell us about the birth of this company. Who put it together? Where did the inspiration come from? And teach us a little bit about exactly what does Bluetooth mean.
Yeah, for sure. And so Sonos is a company that was started in 2002 by four founders, including a man named John McFarland, who was actually involved with bringing me to the company and helped hire me. These guys were rebel surfers, you know, living in Santa Barbara. They had a successful exit and some previous success in technology ventures. And they were looking for their next big thing, like we often do in transition. And they had a lot of software and networking experience. And they thought, you know, hey, we think the future of music or the future of audio out loud is actually going to be streaming. This is well before, you know, that came to foot. And so they invented Sonos and were a first mover of sorts in terms of being able to help facilitate that and have any song from any source play in any room of your home.
I was one of the first customers before it, you know, way back in the early 2000s, and there was something called Rhapsody. I'll never forget trying to figure out what's on Rhapsody, loaded the specific like genre of songs you wanted to make a playlist. So this was an innovation. Is there, when you have four guys coming together, did one handle the art, one handle the technology, one handle the money? What was the need for all four of these guys?
You know, I think early on in the early days, just like with many ventures, you wear many hats. And, you know, even in my role now as chief of staff at the company, there really is no job that isn't mine. And that was especially true in the beginning, you know, when there are four folks at a round table trying to figure out what's next. And so I think everybody kind of did a little bit of everything. You know, the company's early roots is in hardcore technology. You know, Sonos is a company that's known for a powerful, you know, IP portfolio. And so we're built on a lot of invention, which is part of our claim to fame. And you know, we're really, we started off as this wireless, you know, in-home sound system, and we've expanded on since then. You mentioned Bluetooth. We actually just made our first foray into Bluetooth a couple launches ago with a product that we have called Sonos Move. And so traditionally, we've been focused on the home, but people are starting to see us branch out beyond the home, especially with that first product, which I think you have, the Sonos Move, which has Bluetooth built in. So we were innovating back then, and we continue to innovate now, trying to bring brilliant sound to as many spaces as we can.
What exactly is ARC, A-R-C?
All right, so ARC is our latest product. Yeah, you must have been following the news. So we last week, you know, we introduced a suite of new products. Sonos ARC is our latest. That is our brand-new premium soundbar for your television. It's great for sports, movies, music, and more. It has 3D sound built in with Dolby Atmos, which we're really excited about. And Sonos has been celebrated for many years for all of our products, but especially for our soundbar products. So Playbar is kind of like our flagship, you know, soundbar from some years ago. Did incredibly well in its category. I think it's actually the highest, the best-selling Playbar or soundbar of all time. And then we introduced Sonos Beam a couple of years ago, which is more of an entry-level product. And this is our premium, our big one, the bad boy. So the Sonos Arc, we just announced that it's on pre-order right now. It'll be available everywhere June 10th.
You know, I want to take advantage, Alan, of you being with me right now, just like two guys sitting at a bar, because I really love where you come from, artistic as well as scientific. I mean, just what Steve Jobs did to create Apple, bringing the world of technology and art together. But let's go back in time. I want to play these two sound bites of Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of football in the 60s, who is now bringing the idea of a football game to primetime television, and how initially it's actually not accepted. But I would love to hear what you think about hearing these sound bites. Rebecca, let's play distant replay number 4 and then number 5.
Actually, we had somewhat of a track record because we had experimented, I think, in 5 primetime games with CBS. For various nights of the week earlier in the 60s, and we were convinced that we'd go. And we talked to CBS, and they said, you know what, move Doris Day? And they had Carol Burnett that night. The only NBC had 20-night movie. So then I talked to them, and these 5 previous primetime games had done well. And he was obviously very interested, and I knew he would have to do a selling job on the network, perhaps.
And we figured that we would lose something like 100 of our stations.
This is Rune Arnold.
Who would carry the football games independently, which would have wiped us out on Monday night. And so it was really fear more than anything else that is the way I got the network to agree to it.
Back in 69, when we were negotiating this, we had a provision in the contract that ABC had to guarantee that every game would be shown in color, because it wasn't necessarily automatic in those days.
Can you imagine? What goes through your mind when you hear about that sales pitch, using fear, being excited about bringing sports to Monday night as primetime entertainment? What do you think when you hear that, Alan?
You know, I think that's still happening right now. You know, I think what we've learned over the years, especially as we interact with our content and entertainment in different ways, we started to see how powerful it can be to enhance or sharpen a sensory experience, or even be able to add a contextual dimension to what it is that you're used to experience in analog. There's a lot more that we can do on digital, or we can at least give people access in a way that they didn't have otherwise, that they couldn't be there in the game. And that's something that Sonos is always trying to do, whether we're trying to render perfectly an artist's intent when they make a song. They want it to sound just as well in the wild as it does in the studio. And it's the same thing for athletics as well. We want to bring people as close to the game as possible, as close to the floor, the 50-yard line as possible. And adding dimension with sound and being able to present that in a different way, we're doing it now in not too dissimilar of a way that they were doing it then. Although, of course, they got us over that first hurdle, which is putting it on screen, and we're trying to do the rest as we go.
Let's do one more soundbite. I want to hear what goes through your mind. Let's take advantage of having you and your brain on the radio with me right now. Rebecca, let's go to Muscle Shoals, number 3. This is when Rick Hall is literally making he's cutting his very first record. And what I just love about life, surgery, art, sports, you don't need someone to translate when you know it's a hit. Again, whether it's in surgery, sports, or art, no one has to tell you why you love it. You just can tell this intangible, this sixth sense. Let's listen to number 3, Muscle Shoals.
The first record I cut in the studio was a record called Steal Away by Jimmy Hughes, brand new building, and I was hoping it had the magic. I didn't know. So I brought my band in, and I went up in the control room and sat down.
Okay, all set.
I turned on the microphones and nervously hit the talkback button to the musicians and said, with a slight crackle in my voice, rolling.
One, two, three, four.
When they kicked off Steal Away, I sat behind the console and wept.
Let's play number 4.
I just had huge chill bumps come up on my arms, and the hair on my back of my neck actually stood up. And of course, this was the birth of the Muscle Shoals sound.
I've got to see you somehow, not tomorrow.
Hmm.
I know it's late. Whoa, I can't wait. So come on and steal away.
So, Alan, you're in a meeting. The hair goes up on the back of your neck. You can't explain it, but you just know it's right. What do you think about that soundbite?
You know, it's incredible, you know, and it reminds me so much of why I'm at Sonos. It reminds me so much of why we do what we do. I mean, we're going to create that experience that Mr. Rick had over and over again. You know, we want you to be in your home and be able to feel like you're actually on the other side of a talk back in a control room. And I know what that's like as an artist, as a recording artist, as a musician myself. You know, being able to create that and recreate that over and over again for a listener who may have no access or may not even know the story of Muscle Shoals is exactly what we're out for. It's a magical experience that both creators and listeners can experience, and we're constantly trying to recreate that and reproduce that. And so it feels very familiar and reminds me of why I'm even talking to you now.
All right, before I let you go, you're just fantastic. I can tell already, Alan. And it's because you're a surfer, by the way. Let's not discount that, from North Carolina, no less. What's new? What's the future look like for Sonos? What are you guys up to next?
Yeah, well, you know, I mentioned Arc, so we just introduced some new hardware. We refreshed a couple old classics in our portfolio, so our sub as well as Sonos 5. We actually just launched Sonos Radio, which we're really excited about. I know there are even some folks from Sonos that are listening to this interview now on Sonos Radio that has everything from stations like ESPN LA to curated stations like Kids Rock and Indie Gold, and some curated stations by incredible musicians like Tom York and Brittany Howard. And so we're trying to think through what role we play in content as well as we've introduced Sonos Radio. And I mentioned Sonos Move, which is our first product with Bluetooth, the one I think that you have. We're constantly thinking through how can we get at other dimensions in sound and space? How can we reinvent the way people experience audio again and again and again? And so you know, nothing further to share beyond the big set of announcements that we had last week, but you can look to us to continue to innovate, not just on the hardware side, but the content side as well, with the introduction of radio, excuse me.
You know, for me, it's really exciting. You want to be depressed? You want to hear how tough life is? I got plenty of people for you to talk to. The people I love hanging out with, particularly when I'm waiting for waves in the ocean, when I surf every Sunday in Ventura, I want to be around the people that are excited, who can see that the glass is half full. And I get that it's tough times. Listen, I'm a surgeon, so I really know what it's like, and I was in the hospital this week. But what a pleasure it is to be talking to you right now, Alan, and to be part of a company, Sonos, that really is excited about the future. And you should be, because it is going to be wireless, it is going to be Bluetooth, and it is going to be melding the world of sports, the arts, and all of that. You know, you really have made a huge impression on me and everybody who's listening right now, because you can tell in your voice the excitement for the future. What a pleasure to talk to you, Alan. Thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Likewise. Grateful to be here. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Okay, young man. Talk soon. And thanks to the great Jared Abrams for making this happen. Appreciate it. All right, the clinic will be open. I got so much to talk about, and I got to talk about food. Two things, hot dogs and chocolate. Oh, my God, what a week I had. I'll explain further. The clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm still quelling.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers. Mustang
Sally. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. This is Wilson Pickett meeting Rick Hall, Muscle Shoals, Alabama. The look on Wilson Pickett's eyes when Rick Hall picking him up at the airport and then meeting a bunch of high school Alabama kids, the Swampers they were called, and some of the funkiest R&B music came out of that studio, including this one, Mustang Sally. All right, I want to take you into the operating room this week. 38-year-old guy, he's an accountant, so he's got a desk job, but he loves tennis, and his shoulder started to hurt. Went to therapy, not any better. Actually saw someone other than me who gave him a cortisone shot, and you know how much I hate cortisone. But everything was a mess. He wasn't getting better and wound up in my office. A true weekend warrior, tennis player, accountant, 38. He's a righty, right-hand dominant. And you can tell just on the history alone, Dr. Clapper, when I put on a jacket, my shoulder hurts. When I roll over in bed and lie on my shoulder, it almost wakes me up from a deep sleep. Women will say difficulty putting their bra on. These are classic parts of the history that you want to get. Next, you examine the person. You have them lift their arm all the way over their head. Our shoulder has what we call six planes of freedom. You can flex and extend to reach up high to put in a light bulb. You can abduct your, so flexion extension. You can put your arms out to the side like you want to salute someone in the military. So your arm up at 90 degrees, that's called abduction. Trying to touch your belly button, that's adduction. So you have abduction, adduction, flexion, extension. And then trying to reach behind your back, you have internal and external rotation. Those six planes of freedom. Well, there's parts of the exam where I can have you lift your arm at a 90-degree angle to your body and then have your palm face down. And when you drop your arm down, the grimace on the face of the patient already tells me there's a bone spur and it's digging into the rotator cuff tendon. So the history, the physical exam, and then we're blessed. Just like people from Sonos like Alan Mask, we have a Bluetooth type of device called an MRI. It's not just an X-ray. I can actually see the tendon, see the swelling, see the inflammation, see the bursitis. You don't need dye injected, just a regular MRI. And what am I looking for? I'm looking to see the structural anatomy. Remember, my dad was a carpenter, so I'm going to give you some clapper visions of carpentry. The 2x4s, the framing of the house, are the bones. They're the skeleton. But the drywall, the sheetrock, as we called it in New York when I was growing up, they called it sheetrock. Here they call it drywall. The drywall are the tendons and the muscles that are attaching to the studs, to the 2x4s. The tendons, the muscle I'm looking for. And see if they're frayed. Are they scratched? Is there a blister in the tendon? Just like a blister in your hand. Or is there actually a full thickness hole in the tendon? The MRI can tell me this beautifully. It can also tell me what the quality of the tendon is. Has this been damaged going on for a long period of time? But here's what I love the most. An orthopedic surgeon at Columbia, where I went to medical school, his name is Louis Bigliani. He decided to try to figure out, because his teacher was another guy that I met when I was a medical student at Columbia, named Charlie Neer, N-E-E-R. You talk about Mount Rushmore. Dr. Neer is on the Mount Rushmore of shoulder surgery in the world. He did more to try to figure out how the shoulder works than anybody. And Bigliani was his fellow. Now Bigliani's an old man altogether, but Bigliani studied the shape of the bone on the tip of your shoulder. Take your hand now and feel the tip of take your right hand and feel the tip of your left shoulder. You can feel the collarbone, the clavicle, but that's not what I'm interested in right now. Keep taking your fingers and get to the tip of your shoulder. That's the acromion bone. The famous AC joint is the acromioclavicular joint, where that tip of your shoulder, the acromion, meets the clavicle. But I'm talking about the very tip. You can't feel the shape of the bottom of the acromion because that's inside your shoulder. But Bigliani described we all, as human beings, don't have the same shape to the 2x4. Just like a 2x4 in the lumberyard. Some of them have a knot in it. Some of them are pure wood. The shape of the bone is slightly different in all of us, but really, it's one of three different shapes. And that's what Bigliani described. The shape of the acromion, type 1, type 2, and type 3. So here's a clapper vision for you. If you look outside and you've got a bird feeder like I do right now, and I love my bird feeder, you'll see beautiful, cute little birds like sparrows and finches. Look at the beak of that bird. Even a blue jay, the top of the beak and the bottom of the beak are essentially like clamshells. They're the same shape. But if you now get the pleasure of taking binoculars out and looking at a red-tailed hawk, you look at the beak of the red-tailed hawk, you know what you're going to see? That it's not the same beak as a blue jay or a finch or a sparrow, where the two clamshells are equal. The tip of that red-tailed hawk, of an eagle, of a falcon, these birds of prey, they have a hook. They have a hook on the end of their beak, which allows them to tear at the meat of a salmon, of a squirrel. That's what allows them to tear that carnivore meat apart. They're not just eating bird seeds like the sparrow and like the blue jay. That tear at the flesh, that hook. Well, guess what? Some of us are born with the bottom of the bone of the acromion is like a falcon. It has a hook on it. That's a type 3. Type 1, flat surface on the undersurface. Can you imagine lifting your arm up and you have the hook on the end of it like the beak of an eagle? Guess what's living right below that bone? Again, you can't feel it. What you can feel is your pec major, your deltoid, and your trapezius muscle, but you can't feel your supraspinatus, your rotator cuff, which is in your shoulder. And if you're born with that hook and you play tennis or you make a living as a house painter or you're reaching high up in the cabinet to get the cornflakes, over time, you're going to have shoulder pain because you're starting to scratch up your rotator cuff. And that's one of the surgeries I did this week. Using my sculpting tools, literally, that I use in marble, I'm using them in surgery to arthroscopically, through a puncture wound, file that beak to make it smooth so the hook is gone. What a rewarding thing to be able to do to give someone a shoulder that no longer has pain in an outpatient procedure. It takes me 45 minutes to do, done thousands of them over 31 years. It's such a privilege to be able to do that and help somebody. Coming up next, the clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN, but I got to talk some food. We got to talk about a hot dog and some chocolate. Where else are you going to hear this but the Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Ahui hoi.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
What you want, baby, I got. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking you is for
the Queen of Soul. Aretha Franklin, who was cut by CBS Records and wound up with Rick Hall in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and it launched her career. Let's play Muscle Shoals number 10. Listen to Aretha Franklin giving due credit to Rick Hall and Muscle Shoals.
Coming to Muscle Shoals was the turning point. That's where I recorded I Never Loved a Man, which became my first million-selling record. So absolutely, it was a milestone and the turning point in my career.
Incredible. Magical revolution in the world of sound. Like the company Sonos and their Bluetooth technology. And creating Monday Night Football, Rune Arledge, dreaming up the idea of putting Howard Cosell in the booth. Magical moments in the world of sound. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Gary. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper.
Hi, Gary.
Yes.
It's great to hear your voice, Gary. So you're a longtime listener to the show?
I am. For about 2 years now.
And what do you do for a living, Gary?
I'm a program manager for an aerospace company.
Nice. And where'd you grow up?
Staten Island, New York.
The best pizza apparently in New York is in Staten Island. Not in Queens. Not in Manhattan, but in Staten Island. Wow. Good for you. What did your dad do for a living?
He was an engineer.
Really? So you kind of followed in his footsteps. Good for you. All right, how can I help you, Gary? What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you very much for your book and your talk show. Finally, after listening to you for a while, I bought the book. I started following what you said in the book about going in the pool and doing the exercises. And then that led to, starting on a bicycle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm up to about 30 miles, go on one bike ride for 30 miles. And
wow.
It's just been great. I have no knee pain anymore. I had two surgeries on my knees, but it didn't help. You know, it helped for a while,
right,
but it never went away.
And I bet you they gave you some cortisone shots, too.
Oh, a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of
it's
cortisone.
A poison. That's right. Don't let them. Good for you. Well, listen, I wrote those books. You know, the real story behind those books was Barnes & Noble opened a store in my neighborhood. And in the 90s, I walked in with my daughter holding her hand into the new Barnes & Noble in my neighborhood, and my daughter said to me, "Daddy, look at all these books," with just wonder and amazement. And I remember looking down at my little girl, and I'm going, "God, she's so impressed with all. I got to write a book. What the hell am I going to write about? I'm going to be a surgeon telling you how not to have surgery. That's what I'm going to write about." So there you go. And you can thank my daughter, because if it wasn't for her, I would not have written all these books about how to avoid surgery. So thank you so much for the kind words and for listening and for calling. I really appreciate it.
Well, I have one more thing. So this week, my daughter just gave birth to a boy. So I'm going to be around with him, you know, a lot more than I would have before your book. So thank you again.
Oh, that's very, listen, that's a beautiful thing. That's what the world's all about. You know, Gary, you want two things in your life, things that are priceless and things that are timeless. Sculpting in marble lets me make things that are going to be timeless. But being able to write a book so that you can have a knee that doesn't hurt anymore, so you can run around with your new grandson, you know what? You just did something for me that's priceless and made me feel like I've made a difference while I've been here on this planet. I can't thank you enough for the kind words. I appreciate it.
You have, and thank you.
All right, young man.
You take care.
Okay, cool. All right, young man. Thanks so much for the phone call. You made my day. All right, I got to tell you about the hot dog, but we don't have time right now. I'll do it in the second hour. Coming up next, I'm going to tell some stories about the magical innovations in sound, in sports, in art, and in surgery. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.